Amen. Let's remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. I want to say again, it's been a wonderful 19 years that I've spent here. Amen. And I marvel at what God has done for me in my own personal life. And how God has, molded me to some degree, shaped me and conformed me and helped me and given me a lot of grace. And they've given me a lot of victories since I've been here. And met a lot of wonderful people, wonderful preachers. And my mind goes back to some of the services we've had. We've had some great times in this little building we're situated in today. And the Lord has moved in marvelous ways. I've seen sinners saved. I've seen revival fires burning in hearts. I've seen families helped, but we've had our downfalls as well. There's been a lot of negative things that's happened, but God's pulled us through it. Amen. And one of these days we'll arrive over on the other shore. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms in chapter number 39, if you would please. Can you believe it? Of all things, now I want to announce this. Don't hold me to this, please. Do not hold me to this statement. But I feel like the Lord is dealing with me about preaching next Sunday a message on the birth of the Lord Jesus. And a little thing about that birth that I've got in my heart that's been rolling around, and I'm not a normal. You got to preach Easter on the resurrection and Christmas on the birth and so on and so forth. I'm not that kind of a person. Never have been. But I really feel like God's leading me next Sunday to preach on the birth, on something around that. Something that came to my mind, and I've wondered why that it happened the way that it happened. And if the Lord will let me, I'd like to develop that thought and preach around it on next Sunday morning. But Psalm 39 this morning, and written, by, of course, by David. And David said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. That would certainly be good exhortation for all of us here today. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned, then I spake. Then spake I with my tongue. I've heard a lot of preachers preach on that while David was musing and the fire was burning, that God was really a blessing him and helping him and stirring his heart. And we ought to have that same fire burning in us, but that's not at all what that verse of Scripture is referring to. While David was musing, the fire burned. David was angry in his heart toward those that were wicked without and toward his enemies. And while he kept silence and while he mused on that, his heart began to burn. That's why he said, I'm not going to sin with my tongue or my mouth while the wicked are before me. I'm going to keep it bottled up on the inside, then I'm going to let it out in another way. We'll get to that in just a moment. He said in verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Amen. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man is at his best state. At his best state is altogether vanity. Amen. Selah. David said, the best that we can possibly arrive at within ourselves, we're nothing. We're air. We're vanity. We're light. We're nothing at all. Amen. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions, make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Scripture. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. I certainly enjoyed the Sunday school hour, Lord, and the time in the Word of God there, the help that I received. I thank You for the fellowship, Lord, with the brethren. Thank You for the music, the songs that we were able to sing this morning, our young people. I thank You for grace in their lives. I pray, Lord, that those of them that are without God, You'd save. And I pray, Lord, You'd fill the rest with the Spirit of God. May You revive the church and bless us here today. I look to Thee, Lord, for that old-fashioned Holy Ghost unction and filling that comes from God. And I do pray for liberty and power. I pray for the peace of God to pass all understanding within every heart in this place today. I pray that You'll do great wonders in our midst. Bless our radio listeners today. Help them along the day, Lord, to find some joy and some happiness through the service here. May Thy Word today bless and help each and every soul. May sinners be saved. And Lord, may You be magnified and our church revived. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. I want to look at verse number 9 is where I'm going to draw my thought from, and we'll be preaching through in several of the verses throughout this chapter this morning. But in verse number 9, David said, I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Get a hold of that statement. David said, I opened not my mouth. Why, David? Because thou didst it. It was of the Lord's doing. That which was in David's life was of the Lord. And David said, because you're doing this, you're in control of my life, I'll be as a dumb man. I will not open my mouth because, Lord, thou didst it. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me for a little while. This is not a Christmas message either. But I want to preach for a little while, if the Lord will help me, on responses to perplexities. How well you respond to those perplexing times in your life. Amen. When things are not just going like you think they ought to go, how do you respond to those things? I've heard preachers say that our response to and our reactions really reveals what we are by the grace of God. And so I want to preach on that a little while. Psalm 39 is a record of David's responses to various troubles, or may I say perplexities, in his life. To a child of God, these perplexing times are the workings of God, and our responses to Him are indeed very important. I want you to get a hold of that this morning. When God is working in our life, and life seems to be contrary to us, and we don't understand exactly what God is doing in our life, just remember that these are times that are probably the most important time in your life. I know that we like to stay on the mountaintop. I enjoy it up there. But I'll be quite honest with you, it is that valley experience where knowledge is gained and where our lives are shaped and molded and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, how can that be? It's simple. He was a man of sorrow. I think we've forgotten that today, that our Lord was a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. And the reason was, is because our sins and our iniquities was laid upon Him. And He was definitely a man of sorrow. Now, we don't mind to be conformed to His image if it's flying high, but being conformed to His image, when it brings sorrow and grief and trouble to our life, we certainly don't appreciate that, and we don't enjoy that a great deal. But I'll say again to you that that is the very time in your life that God is working in a deeper way to conform you to the image of the Lord Jesus and to make a real child of God out of you. Now, from the song itself, from this particular psalm itself, it is evident that it was written in a time of trouble, affliction, and possibly even doubt in David's life. I think we gained that from the first few verses. David is doubting and wondering exactly what God is doing in his life, and there appears to be anger within David's heart. Have you ever gotten that way? Have you ever gotten angry in your heart and spewed it out before you gave it a thought? David said so much as this, when I was angry and troubled in my heart, rather than spew it out before the wicked, he said, I put my hand over my mouth and became as a dumb man. And I'll tell you, it'd do us well to remember that. You've heard the story, and I'm not going to tell it again, about the deal with the automobile I bought from up at Norman Bogus when things wasn't going right and I was going to set them straight. I went up there one morning with my car in that garage with the intentions of setting them straight and giving them a piece of my mind. And when I walked into that automobile bay, I had steam rolling out both ears, and I'm telling you, my nose was ablaze with fire, and my tongue was ready to lash out like a black snake whip and cut them to the heart and tell them exactly how I felt because of the problems that they were causing me. And I walked through that front door, and immediately a man spoke and said, good morning, Brother Hall. How are you doing today? And I said, oh, my Lord, thank God that you put somebody here that kept me from making a fool out of myself. Have you ever been that way? I'm talking about letting your tongue out and making an absolute fool out of yourself in front of somebody else. David said, in times like that, it is best to play the part of a dumb man. Seal your mouth, seal your lips, and let whatever is troubling you remain in your heart until you're alone with God, and then let that thing out in supplication unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to vent yourself, do it in prayer. If you want to vent yourself to somebody, do it to the Lord. I guarantee you He'll hear you. And when you get up off your knees, you won't feel nearly as troubled or agitated and aggravated and irritated and nearly as mad as what you were before you got on your knees. In fact, you cannot pray if there's aught in your heart. That's right. I'm on in the house now. That's right. I'm telling you, we get so discombobulated over the little things of life. Listen to what Jeremiah says. This is one of Brother Steve's favorite verses. He told me it was when I preached on it one time. If thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremiah is simply saying, if you cannot handle the little things in a time of peace and tranquility, how are you going to manage your Christian life when affliction and troubles and trials comes on you? And I
have preached this until I'm blue in the face, but God just will not let me alone with it, because I feel like that there's some of you in here that are troubled in life, and I can tell from your countenance that your heart has been afflicted for some reason or another, and I'm telling you, it is the hand of God, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And David said there in verse 9, I kept my silence. I was dumb. Why, David? Because thou didst it. He realized it was the hand of God working in his life.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
What Proverbs says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small.
Amen.
If you cannot stand adversity, you're very weak. And I'll tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy when somebody opens their mouth and lashes you with the tongue. It's not easy to hold your silence. I know I've been there and done that. Now, I've been on both ends of the pole. I've played the part of a fool and lashed out with my tongue. And I have also been on the receiving end of it. And there's been times on the receiving end, guess what I did? I lashed back. Amen. That's right. That's that old Adam still hanging around down in there. These fellas running around talking about being perfect, but I've not arrived yet. Brother Hall's not perfect. I'm telling you, old Adam is still down there. Come on in the house, and some of you do it to husband and wife. I guarantee you, some of you lash out at one another in the home. God, have mercy on us. I'll tell you, there's a time when we ought to put our hand over our mouth and say, by the grace of God, Lord, I will not speak, because this is the hand of God, that thou hast done it, and therefore I will not grumble and complain about it. Amen. Come on in the house now. If you can't handle adversity, you're not very strong. I'll say that. Amen. Now, in verses 1 through 3, David is keeping silent during his affliction. In his silence, he is tempted to sin with his mouth. That is to murmur and complain. And that in the presence, apparently, of sinners and lost men. But instead of complaining to men, in verses 12 and 13, David pours out his supplication, or pours out his heart in supplication to God. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. David was broken up on the inside. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. You know what David's saying there? David said, Lord, don't let me die in this condition. Before I go hence and be no more. I want to ask you this morning, if you died exactly how you are right now, would it please God? I'm talking about, if God cut your breath right now and you went out to meet God, would you be pleasing in the sight of God? Could you stand in the presence of God and say, Lord, I've done all I've done. I've labored all I can labor. I've been as faithful as I can be. I'm as right as I know how to be in my heart. Could you really say that to God? I'm telling you, if you can't, there's an altar, hallelujah, that we need to get on today and get thoroughly right with God and realize, ladies and gentlemen, that when troubles come, they ought to drive us away from God. They ought to draw us to God.
Amen.
We oughtn't to murmur and complain.
Amen.
Grumble about it.
Amen.
I don't want to be left standing in the ashes, do you?
Amen.
Come on now, Noah. Help me. Help somebody out there.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But the thought I want to deal with this morning, it's not his silence. He was silent before men. That's not what I want to deal with. He said, thou didst it. And it's not his supplication that I want to deal with. But I want to deal with his submission to God. I want to ask you this morning, how submitted, how surrendered are we to the very will of God? I want you to listen to what I've got written in my notes. One man wrote this verse of scripture on a marble monument in a cemetery. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. You know who was buried by that little monument? Three little daughters that died from scarlet fever. That man wrote that verse on that tombstone, Lord, I'm going to keep silent because thou didst it. In other words, that man realized God was in control of his life and he wanted to submit to God's will for him in his life. God help us. It's time that we learn, if we're saved by the grace of God this morning, that there is a thrice holy God in heaven that wants to control our life. I wonder if we're submitted to the will of God for our life. Come on in the house now. Are we allowing God to be the pilot, or are we still trying to play the pilot and put him as a co-pilot like you see on some of these bumper stickers? But I'm telling you, he's not your co-pilot. He's your pilot. He's in control of your life. Somebody said, oh, I can run things my way. So could Elvis, and he's in hell.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, you try to run things your way, you're going to wind up in hell with Elvis, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
It is. Hey, come on now. I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's my way or the highway, but I'm saying it's God's way or the highway. You better be. I'll put it like this. It's God's way or the die way, whichever one you want. You better believe it is, friend. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, some of the troubles and afflictions we have may be because we bowed our neck to what God wants out of us. Ain't that right? Come on in the house now. Job said, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and is full of trouble. Now I want to ask you something this morning. Where do you think that we ought to be submitted to? What place of submission? What do we ought to be submitted to? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, that we ought to be submitted, be submissive when we're on the potter's wheel. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I'm glad, thank God, that he didn't throw the clay away. Aren't you glad when he found the flaws and the mistakes in our life and the sin in our life, that God didn't throw the clay away, but he just kept on shaping and molding and making. And I'll tell you, if we'll be submitted to the hand of God upon us, ladies and gentlemen, it won't take near as long to get the work done as it will if we're a bucking and a kicking against everything God's doing.
Amen.
Jeremiah 18. Thus the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, the word which came from Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, rise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Is anybody listening to me today? He made it as seemed good to the potter to make it. I'm telling you, if you're on the potter's wheel, ladies and gentlemen, amen, he is going to make a vessel out of you that seems good to the potter. Somebody say, well, I don't like what I am. It don't make any difference whether you like it or not. God's going to make you what he wants you to be. Or else. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Are you submitted to that? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you submit yourself to that, you'll be a vessel that is meet for the Master's use. Because in every great house, there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. Let me ask something before. What do you want to be, a vessel of honor to God or a vessel of dishonor? I don't know about you, but I want to honor God. Praise God. I want my place. Amen. You know, most people, if they have heirlooms or this or that, that's beautiful or something that displays, they got a mantle in their house, they're going to set that thing right on that mantle so everybody that comes in the house can see it. Now, I'm going to brag on Brother Hall, but I'm going to tell you what I want. I want on that mantle, hallelujah, in the Father's house, that not that people might see me, but people might admire the glorious work of the grace of God on a sinner's life, hallelujah. What God can do in a sinner's life, how He can reach down in the muck and the mire and pick up an old piece of clay, set it on the potter's wheel, and by the hands of a cunning workman, God can shape and mold and make us into a beautiful vessel that will bring honor to God, hallelujah, someday down the road. The devil will say, what is this? In my eyes, behold. The Lord will say, that is the work of my grace. Amen. Thank God, Brother Steve said in Sunday school, said, I think I'll just testify about 15 minutes on the grace of God. I said, that'll be all right with me. Amen. Praise God, just let it rip. By grace, are you saved through faith? Yes. That night, so somebody said, you say that every service. I'm going to tell you why I said, because it's true, hallelujah to God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that He's working on us to help us work for Him?
Amen.
Thank God for grace. Praise God. One of those things, I'd have Sister Hall to sing that song, A Trophy of Grace. Who sings that? You sing that or does Sharon sing that? Sharon sings that. Hallelujah. We got time for it, Sharon. Get your songbook.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We'll really throw a curveball into the devil today.
Amen.
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 Thank God. That's right. What I want to know is, hey, are you submissive to it?
Amen.
David said, I was dumb. I held my mouth. Why, David? Because thou didst it. Because God's doing it. God's at work. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm finding more liberty. I'm not as fiery as I used to be. I'm getting older. I can't jump quite as high, but I can still jump. I can still jump a little bit. Amen to God. You get talking about grace, I might show you how high I can jump. Amen. Let God work on us. Let God make us what God wants us to be. Woo! Amen. I want you to hear this. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Ain't no need of asking. But I'm telling you, two things in the last 6 weeks that God has wrought victory in my life over. Oh, I never thought I'd get victory over. Somebody said, you got sin in your life. Does a bear have a climbing gear? I know where my problems are. I know where my sin lies. Amen. Now I'm telling you, in the last 6 weeks, God's wrought two wonderful victories in my life. And they've all come about, listen to this, they both of them have come about through the sickness in my life, the affliction in my body. What God has afflicted me with has come to help for my good and the glory of God. Somebody said, oh, but you're tired and all the time and you don't shout as much, you can't run as much. Well, but my heart is in high gear. Woo! Amen to God. I can still do the T-Berry shuffle every now and then. You better believe it. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, sing. I want you to sing that song. I might preach a little while you're singing it.
Amen.
Any trophies of grace in here?
Amen.
Praise God.
You had known me then, the way I was before, then you'd understand why I can't hold back the tears.
Yeah.
Since I gave it to the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to give Him glory while I'm here. I stand before you knowing that it's only by His grace that I am just what I am today. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of His love.
Come on,
part of the results from the old rugged cross that was stained with His precious blood. Though I'll never understand why He died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Though there is no way I can repay His love, and the mercy He's shown is more than life to me. There's nothing I can do or say that would be enough to pay the debt of sin He paid for me. My life's a testimony of His mercy, love, and grace. And one day I will thank Him face to face. I'm a trophy of cross that was stained with His precious blood. And though I'll never understand why He died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace.
My own Brother Romer. I hope I'm a trophy of honor, not a trophy unto dishonor. If I'm a glasses, two more things, and we're done. I've got another point, but I ain't going to mention it. Hallelujah. Ain't even going to mention it. Hey, listen very carefully. Be submitted while He works out the flaws in your life. He's working out the flaws in your life. He didn't throw the clay away. It was marred, but He didn't throw it away. So just stay submitted while He works out the flaws in your life. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 3, He said, behold, He wrought a work on the wheels. That tells me He may be doing more than one work at a time in your life. He may be working in different areas at the same time in your life. And a lot of times He uses people. He'll use people to help work out those flaws. That's right. He may send somebody into your presence that irks you. Like out on the job. What God is trying to get you to see, that He is in control if you're His.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm where I am by choice. If you're God, you're where you are because that's where He wants you to be. Somebody said, oh no, I can go this way. Yeah, you can go to heaven pretty quick too. I'm telling you, you cannot stay bent out of God's will, long saved, unless you want to make a flight to heaven. God knows how to chasten, ladies and gentlemen, those that will not submit to the work on the wheel. And if there's no chastisement whereof all are partakers, then you're a bastard and not a son. And mark it down that God will deal with you in both situations.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I will say number three, be patient.
Amen.
Take you, just be patient. Just wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Just wait on God.
Amen.
That's right. God will give you patience.
Amen.
Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say fourthly, be humble.
Amen.
Be humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And He will when He's done that work.
Amen.
On the potter's wheel. I want to ask a question. I'm having Miss Sharon to sing that. I've got mucho more. I've got two more points and you don't even want to hear them because the next one is a pastor's rebuke. Be submitted to, and you don't even want to hear that. But it does say that in several places in the Bible.
Right.
The pastor has the authority to rebuke you.
Amen.
And you ought to be submitted to that rebuke.
Right, sir.
And if you want to read 2 Timothy 4:2, Titus 2:15, 1 Timothy 5:20, Hebrews 13:17, read them.
Amen.
They're there. And then you ought to be submitted to the powers of authority. Those that have the rule over us. Those that govern us. Those that have leadership over us. Now I wonder this morning if God's working in your life.
Amen.
What kind of a vessel are you? And are you submitted? What did David say? I'll find him here in a minute. Hang on. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth. Because thou didst it. But listen to what he prayed. Remove thy stroke away from me. I'm consumed by the blow of thine hand. Have you ever prayed and asked God to remove His stroke away from you? Job said in Job, he said, your stroke's more than I can bear. Have you ever asked God to remove that stroke away from you? And just told Him that it's more than you can bear. Just been honest with God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, when He removes that stroke, the work is done. Grace is accomplished. And you will be forever changed. I'm telling you, you will be forever changed to some degree in your life. Let's stand together. I want to ask Miss Sharon to sing it as an invitation hymn. We're getting out of here early today. Have you submitted yourself in every aspect of your life to the Lord?
While I'm here,
I
stand before you knowing that it's only by His grace that I am just what I am today.
Don't you want to be a trophy?
A trophy of at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace.
Come on.
Though there is no way,
today's the day.
I can repay His love.
Today's the day of salvation.
And the mercy He's shown is more.
While Jesus is working on the heart, you need to come to Him today. Come on.
There's nothing I can do or say.
He'll save you today if you're a
sinner. That would be enough to pay the debt of sin He paid for me. My life's a testimony of His mercy, love, and grace. And one day I will thank Him face to face. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of His love, part of the results from the old rugged cross that was stained with His precious blood. Though I'll never understand why He died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace.
I want to say one thing. We're going to be dismissed this morning. I can honestly say two things, really. I can honestly say that I feel like that a great deal of the liberty that we once had and lost to conduct the service by the leadership of the Spirit of God is back. See, ladies and gentlemen, when God is grieved and He can't work through the preacher, then services sometimes they get to be old hodgepodge. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you can't leave here this morning and say that God wasn't here and God didn't bless your heart. The second thing I want to say is an old saying from years gone by: God is hovering above, and He'll break through in any moment. When you go home today, don't go home and forget now. Hold this in your heart through the day and come back tonight with expectation of God doing something to change your heart and life. And He'll do it. Somebody said, well, preacher, how often can we be changed? Every time you read your Bible. Every time you pray, every time you come to church, can be changed here a little, there a little. It's not all of a sudden you're a perfected saint. It's here a little, there a little. And I doubt that any of us, in fact, I'm confident that none of us will ever arrive until we're standing in His presence complete. Although we have that promise in Colossians that we're complete in Him, we've not received that completeness. We've not received that completeness yet. Not yet. But one day we will. And we'll stand unreprovable and unrebukable in His sight. No man can accuse us, not even the devil. I love you. I want all of us to be vessels of honor in God's house.